give you my heart and my soul. I'll seek your will, never mind rich treasure to find. Give wisdom to choices I make along every path that I take.
Tonight. That's one of those songs that's easier to sing than to live. That's a tough one, but well done tonight. Thank you, young people. I was looking at those as they were singing, these young people, and six of them just graduated from high school, and they're taking a good step towards living what they sang tonight and headed off to college, Bible college. Six of them were up here singing. That was a blessing, and it is critical. That we realize our life is His to control. Very good. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't know why some of these soffit lights are off, fellas. Some of them are on, some of them are off. So if you could help us with that, man, let's get everything up and working like it should be. And that'll be a blessing. Thank you. Very good. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't know if anybody else notices stuff like that, but I notice it all. That's what I get paid to do. Flush the toilets that are left unflushed. Turn off the lights that are left on. Turn lights on that are off that should be on. So that's about 90% of pastoring. But anyway, let's stand together if you found 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you're able to tonight, chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, this is Paul now speaking to Timothy, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, drug outside the city, stoned and left for dead. what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We'll speak tonight on what Timothy knew from childhood, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Father, I pray that you'll bless the message tonight. Keep my cough suppressed. I ask you, please, in mercy. I don't want to be a distraction. Give my voice strength, mind clarity of thought. More than anything, give us your unction, your anointing, that the words preached tonight might have life and spirit and, Lord, power to penetrate deep into our hearts about this very needy subject. So, Lord, help us to listen with attentiveness tonight. Do some work in our hearts. We need it. May the seed fall on good ground and bring forth fruit is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Given the current status of our nation and that of the world, it is no wonder that parents spend a fair amount of time pondering the future, especially as it pertains to their children. It's not unusual to hear a parent or a grandparent express anxious concerns for the well-being of their kids in light of laws that are being passed and practices that are being introduced, not only in our country, but around the world. You know, there's a lot of people right now, if you follow the news at all, I only follow it on the headlines on the one of the websites on the phone. But there's a lot of parents that are up in arms right now about the advance of this critical race theory curriculum finding its way into the public school system. Now, you know what's strange about all of that to me is those who endorse that teaching. You know who their hero is or was? Their hero when it comes to civil rights is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He's their hero. And he said these words in his famous I Have a Dream speech. What was that, 1963? On the Washington Mall. This is his quote. I'm quoting from his speech. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that's what he said. Critical race theory teaches just the opposite of King's dream, because it judges people based on the color of their skin. And if your skin is white, then you're a racist, whether you know it or not. And whether you think you are or not. You're white, you're a racist. And if the founding fathers were white, then it's settled. They were racist too. And I want to tell you something. That's as far away from what Dr. King said he hoped for than anything I can think of. That's judging people, whether black, red, brown, yellow, or white, on the color of their skin, not the content of their character. Personally, I'm encouraged. I know that, you know, I wouldn't have my child in a public school, but I'm encouraged that some of these parents are outraged and going to these school board meetings, and I mean, they're raising Cain. They're raising chaos. I love it. And I'll tell you something, it's just more indication to me that, you know, a nation divided against itself will not stand. And I'm telling you. So anyway, in more than just critical race theory, will there be any jobs? What about the economy? What about affordable housing? What about the price of gasoline? On and on and go. Now look, in this passage, which was written some 1960 years ago, that's not just yesterday, 1960 years ago, Paul tells Timothy that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. That was going on then. And it's not any better now, folks. Not any better now. You know, one of the conservative news sites that I look at, they ran an article this past week about the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus and a video that they made and recorded themselves singing this song. And I didn't read the lyrics, but in the lyrics, They sing, "We're coming for your children." Now, they were called out on it. And when they were called out on it, they backed up. They said, "Oh, that's just a humorous spoof." I'm not so sure about that. These people are evil. They're sin sick and they're evil. And they have an agenda. And they're pushing their agenda. Now, the Bible says, Paul said about these evil men, 1960 years ago, he said, these evil men deceive and are deceived. So as they attempt to seduce people to join in their wicked activities using deceit, all the while they are deceived themselves. You talk about the blind leading the blind? That's what's happening here. And so the question is, how is Timothy to respond to all this wickedness and wrong? How is Timothy to face such a deluge of temptation? How is Timothy to stand up to such sin? Well, the Bible says in verse number 14 that he was to continue in the things that he had learned. Young people, do you understand how important it is for you to come to Sunday school and church and learn? Engage your minds. Engage your minds. Let me tell you something. I appreciate y'all taking notes. But sometimes your note taking takes you so long, you miss 5 minutes of what I'm preaching up here. Write something down and then get your eyes back up here and get your brain engaged and learn something from the Word of God when you come to church. Because that's what was going to help Timothy stand up against all these evil seducers. What if you don't learn anything? How are you going to stand up? What are you going to do in the face of evil? Come to Sunday school, you don't listen, you mess around. Don't listen to your teacher. Come to church, got looking down, doing this, looking all over the place, you're not learning a thing. How are you going to stand up in this evil day? How are you going to stand against the evil onslaught? You got to learn something. So Timothy had learned something. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. He was to remember those things and continue in them. And he was to live by those things, knowing the lives of those who had taught him. I hope you feel like you have a Sunday school teacher that you can trust. I hope you understand and hope you believe that you have a pastor you can trust to preach to you the truth of God's Word. Learn it. Learn it. Get it down. Okay, that's what Paul told Timothy. Now, in verse number 15, Paul said that Timothy had learned the scriptures from his childhood. His childhood. So because Timothy had learned the scriptures from a boy, he could lean on those truths. He could lean on what he'd learned and be confident in them. And those scriptural truths would help him stand strong in the day of temptation and in the day of deceitfulness. What is it that stands the test of evil men and evil times? What turns back the tide of wickedness slamming against the belief system of young adults? What emboldens young adults to stand strong in the face of persecution and affliction? The answer, and the only answer, is this book right here. That's the answer. That's it. That's why you need to learn it. Psalm 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Verse number 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." This is the answer, dad and mom. This is the anchor in which your hope rests for your kids and their future. If your anchor is their work ethic, if your anchor is their ability to make money, if your anchor is their personality, if your anchor is their talent, it will not hold. This is the only anchor that will hold in the day of evil and temptation. This one right here. This is the anchor. This is the strength they need to withstand the onslaught of evil. Evil men and evil ways. The powerful, living, wise, strong word of the living God is the hope of their life, both now and then. Now here's my point for tonight. Now I'm just going to yell about that. Paul said Timothy learned the scriptures from a child. Now, parents, Timothy did not learn them on his own. He did not have what we know as Sunday school. He did not have Patch the Pirate or other forms of media to listen to or to watch. So how did Timothy learn these scriptures from his childhood? Well, we don't have to guess. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned," that means real faith, "that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." That's the answer to the question, where did Timothy learn these scriptures? He got his knowledge of scripture from his mother and his grandmother. His mother and his grandmother. So what is on my heart tonight is for parents to understand the importance of your children learning the truths of God's Word in their childhood. It's important for them to be able to learn by parental example. But I'm not preaching about that. It's important for them to learn from the many teachers they encounter through a local church ministry. One of the most blessed things that I've seen recently, I was with a Sunday school teacher, and we walked into a group of kids, and some of the kids who had been in that Sunday school teacher's class and are now older, they came right over and shook that Sunday school teacher's hand. And it was a handshake of respect and love and appreciation, because that Sunday school teacher had connected with them the years they were in his class. That blessed my heart. Blessed my heart to see that kind of respect for a Sunday school teacher. It's important for them to learn from the pulpit as God's Word is preached. But please, this is my message. Do not overlook the extreme importance of your child learning from a daily event called family altar. Family devotions, family Bible time, whatever you want to call it, whatever you call it, is not near as important as you having it. And it gets awful quiet in here, because I want to tell you something. I think this is a thing that a lot of people don't nail down. A lot of people don't nail it down. But this is incredibly important. Timothy learned from his mother and his grandmother. You say, "Pastor, how do you know?" They sat down with him and had a daily devotion, a family altar. I don't know that, but I just know this. He knew the Holy Scriptures from a child. And Paul said, "The truth and the wisdom and the righteousness of the Holy Scriptures had dwelt in his grandmother and dwelt in his mother, and now they dwelt in him." So, folks, I don't think it takes rocket science to understand that somehow when Timothy was a boy, his mother, maybe his grandmother, were involved in giving him the truth of whatever Scripture they had. People ask me for tips on rearing children, and I cannot overemphasize the importance of a time when the family sits down and listens to a devotion from dad or mom. It just cannot be properly valued. And I'm not preaching tonight to make you feel bad. I understand that we live in a day and age of extreme pressure. Everything is condensed. Everything is just, it's just like... Used to be, you pick up your phone, you did the rotary dial, and you made a phone call, and if you didn't get somebody, there wasn't even a way to leave a message. "I'll have to call back later." Now, if you text somebody and they don't respond in 2 seconds, 2 minutes, it's like, "Why didn't you answer me?" By the way, just because you have a cell phone does not mean that you have pastor on demand. Okay? Just because I get lots of texts. Ask my wife. Sometimes she'll look at me and say, "Can you turn that thing off? You turn it off." I can't respond to everything. I'm not going to respond to everything. And on purpose, I don't have the thing enabled to let you know that I've read your text. On purpose. So you don't know if I got it or not, okay? But anyway... And sometimes I try to catch up on them a week later. But I'm just telling you, I understand. I'm not trying to make any man in this church feel bad tonight. You are stretched for time. I understand that. But this is something that you better not overlook. If you want your children to learn the Scriptures from a child, that's why I bring them to church. Not enough. Not enough. That might be enough for the young man, the young lady, like a Ray Tompkins who comes out of a home that's lost, whose dad's not around, whose mom probably never sat down with him. Ray coming to Sunday school and church, God can make up for the lack of what he gets in his home. But it's no excuse for a Christian family to not have them. Got 2 points tonight. Number one, hindrances to having a family altar. Hindrances to having a family altar. Number one, television. That's a hindrance. I've been saying for years that the thing about television is not just the presence of the negative. Television creates the absence of the positive. People don't play board games together. They don't do things together. They don't have activities together. They don't start a little fire and make s'mores and roast hot dogs because the TV's taking their time. Now, I think everybody in this room knows that 99.999% of what comes across that television is not good for you. But it's not just the presence of the negative. It's the absence of the positive when people are glued to a television set that runs for hours and we don't have family altar. Hindrance. Hindrance. Internet. Too busy surfing the internet to sit down and open the Bible. Tell a Bible story. Folks, I have been suckered into this. You can get started on the internet and get into something and researching something and looking for something and researching something. And I mean, you're so controlled and captivated by it. You look up and say, what? It's what time? How many hours did I just spend on the internet while the Bible stays closed in my house? It's a hindrance. Computers are a hindrance. Tablets. That's the new babysitter. Tablets. Now look, I hope I would have had control of that if I was a younger parent. We didn't have those things. And by the way, let me tell you a story. You jump in the car, you want to have something for the kids to do, so you hand everybody a tablet. Put Pastor Pirate on the CD and let them listen to it. I have a grandchild who was caught stealing. His mother caught him stealing. Grandchild. Just a young one. And when his mother confronted him about it, he lied and said, no, I didn't think. That's right. Am I right, Joyce? No. So they're riding down the road, no tablets. They're listening to Patch the Pirate. And Patch the Pirate sings a song about telling the truth. It's on one of those CDs. You probably know the song. And that kid's sitting there listening to that, and he hollers out, Mom, we need to talk. So when they got home, they talked. And he confessed, I lied to you. I am 100% sure if he'd been playing on a tablet, the Spirit of God would have never spoken to his heart. But because his parents had some Christian music with some meat in it playing over the CD, the Spirit of God took the truth of that song and smote that little boy's heart. Maybe you need to give that some thought. Tablets are a hindrance. Cell phones are a hindrance. Text threads are a hindrance. Blogs are a hindrance. Video games are a hindrance to having family altar. Laziness. Just plain lazy. Because you know what family altar is? It's work. It's thought. It's thinking through. It's preparation. It's work. Laziness is a hindrance to having a family altar. Unconcern. My kids don't need it. None concerned. Misplaced priorities. We have time for everything else except for family devotions. Selfishness. I'd rather be doing that than having family altar. Pride. I don't know the Bible well enough to tell my kids anything. I don't want to look like a dummy. That's pride. You know the Bible well enough to talk to your kids about a story from the Word of God. Neglect. Busyness. That's a hindrance. How about this one? Marriage trouble. You're not going to get dad and mom to sit down together with the kids if dad and mom are fighting. Well, hello, Brother Angel. That's good preaching, even if it is kind of quiet in here. It's kind of hard to sit down as a family. Mom and dad been bickering and griping all day and fussing at each other and not on the same page. And then sit down and try to put a smile on your face and act like you're happy about the Bible and singing songs. If you're having marriage trouble, that's a hindrance to the family altar. Weariness. Weariness, just being tired. I'm too tired. You know what? I'm tired, but I'm not too tired to do what's necessary for my kids to know the Word of God from childhood. Weariness is a hindrance. Money. Money. Well, I got an opportunity to do this extra day. I got an opportunity to make some of this. Let me tell you something. There's not enough money on God's green earth to compare to your child learning biblical truth. Not enough money on planet Earth. Presumption. Presumption. That's a hindrance to family altar. My kids get enough. They go to the Christian school. They go to church. They go to Sunday school. My kids hear enough. That's presumption. Now, I don't know if you're keeping track. Those are 20 hindrances to having a family altar. And I doubt that list has covered them all. And parents, if you aren't convinced that family altar is a powerful tool for children, then you don't have the same concern that Satan does. Because he throws the kitchen sink at family altar. Anything he can do to prevent the Word of God from coming through the eye gate and the ear gate, he will do. Anything to keep the glorious light of the gospel of Christ from shining into their little minds, he will do. He hates this book. He tried, the first thing out of his mouth was trying to create doubt about God's Word. And don't allow any of those hindrances to keep you from having some form of family altar. Overcome those hindrances. Overcome them. If you're not in the habit of having a Bible time with your family, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be awkward. And it's going to take some time to adjust to it. It's going to be awkward. But folks, that's true about everything. If you get a new lawnmower, it takes time to adjust. You know what I got from my son-in-law, Pete, down there in Mississippi? I got an electric mower. A battery-powered mower. I didn't think I'd like it. But man, there's no gas. There's no oil. There's no filter. Just slap the battery in and push the button. And it's got those X blades under there. And it's self-propelled. I love it. So how long does that last? Well, it takes me 45 minutes to do the trim with the push. And I still had 40% of the battery left. Now, it's probably going to cost me $900 for a battery someday. And I could buy 880 push mowers for that much money. But anyway, when the first time I used it, I thought, man, this is no good. This is not good. And I kind of get used to that self-propelled thing and all the buttons and squeezing everything. And it just, you know, but then I was frustrated and I calmed myself down. I said, Terry, get used to it. Give it a little time. And the boys have come by and I've showed it to them. Do you like it? I love it. I love it. It's not noisy. Cuts the grass. Gets the job done. So it takes time to adjust to something new. You get a new appliance, it takes time to learn how to use it to its full potential. We finally got a new range in the kitchen. It's an induction convection. That thing sounds like an airplane taking off. I don't know anything like it in my life. And it tells you right in the book, it makes all these sounds. And at first, my wife didn't know if she was going to like it. She loves it. But it took some time to adjust to it. If you get a different vehicle, it takes time to learn all the options and accessories that come with it. If you get a new gun, fellas, it takes time to get the feel of it. But you don't give up after one attempt to try something new or different, and you don't want to allow awkwardness or unfamiliarity to cause you to stop trying to have family devotions. Work your way through it. Work your way through it. It'll be less awkward night two. It'll be less awkward night three. It'll be less awkward night four. But just do it. Do it until it becomes just normal. And you get used to it. And your family will be blessed by doing it. So the hindrances to having a family altar, I need 20 of them. Overcome those hindrances. Now, point number two in this message is helps to having a family altar. Helps to having a family altar. This is so simple, I was almost reluctant to even preach this message tonight, but I know it's needed. Number one, pick a time. Pick a time. Most of our lives, we do everything governed by time. Okay? Yeah, well, I'll fit it in sometime. No, you won't. You got to pick a time. You got to pick a time. May not be night is best for you. You might think that morning is better. The kids are there. Maybe they're preschool age. Just get ready to go. Maybe right around the table after breakfast is a good time to have a quick family devotion. Pick a time. Number two, choose a place. Choose a place. Make that the place where the family gathers around the Word of God and has family altar. Choose the place. The place becomes sacred. 90% of our family devotions took place in our family room. 10% took place around the kitchen table. So the bulk of it was in the family room. Pick a place. Next, Dad leads the way. Dad leads the way. Dad, are we having devotions tonight? I don't know. Go ask your mother. Ugh. That's sickening. Go ask your mother. It is the most overstated. Fellas, take the leadership of your home. Mom's too busy. No, we're having devotions. Dad leads the way. Mom, next. Mom pinch hits. When Dad is not there, can't be there, we don't just throw devotions out the wayside. Mom pinch hits. She steps in. Next, sing fun songs. Can I make a suggestion? Don't sing the doxology at family devotions. Maybe when your children get older and they can carry harmony and enjoy, you know. But when they're young, you say, I don't know what to sing. Get with Brother Allen. Brother Allen, do you have a list of bus songs? And Jeff Reardon leads us in two bus songs every Saturday. And I see you must have them on your phone. And you can have fun with Everything's All Right in My Father's House. I led that yesterday morning at bus meeting. Everything's all right in My Father's House. There's no construction in My Father's house. In My Father's house. In My Father's. Well, there won't be. It'll be done when we get there. No more remodel, Brother Jeff? No more remodel dust. No more remodel in My Father's house, because we were in the gym. You know, you can have fun. And God is not sitting up in heaven ready to throw a lightning bolt through the sky because you're having a little fun with a bus song. If you're saved and you know it, I mean, those fun, there's dozens of fun bus songs. Fun children's songs. Sing them. And then next, helps to having family altar. Sing some well-known hymns. You can sing at Calvary. Have fun. Sing at Calvary. There's songs that the kids know. They pick up on them. One of these Sunday nights, I'm going to get this King's Kids Choir up here and let them sing for you the song, God is Still Good. And they got it down. They can belt the chorus out. God is still good when the waves crash high. God is still good. Don't tell me kids can't learn. No, no, they could sing. So sing well-known hymns. Then this helps to having a family altar. Adjust the devotion for all ages. If you got multiple children, now we had 15 years between oldest and youngest. So obviously, we had to make some adjustment there. Sometimes the devotion was geared toward the older group. Sometimes the devotion was geared toward the younger group. But you might have to adjust for all the ages in your family. Next, help. Keep it short. Thank you, Tom. Amen. Tom thought I was talking about the sermon. He didn't know I was talking about family devotions. Amen. Keep it short. Folks, you're not there for an hour-long devotion. Now, I got two sets of ears sitting out here tonight, plus my wife's three, who grew up in the home there. And on a handful of occasions, it just settled in. And usually it was one of those times around the table when it just kind of settled in. And it was usually because the older kids were going through some things and had questions. And, well, Dad, what about this? And I'm not exaggerating. There was a couple times, maybe a handful, when we sat around that table for a couple of hours. Didn't you have other stuff to do outdoors, 2 acres? Oh, people, if you live on an acreage, there's always something to do. But none of it more important than those kids being taught truth from that book right there. But most of the time, keep it short. Just a few minutes. Remember, and look, people, I'm not standing up here as the expert. You know who I learned from? I learned from the example of Larry Brown. Sometimes they would have a song, and he would quote a Bible verse, pray, and that would be it. 4 minutes, 3 minutes. That's all. Well, I feel like I got to have 15. No, you don't feel like you don't. No, you don't have to do that. Just got to get something and a time with the family to sit down. Next, help. Deal with pertinent topics. Deal with pertinent topics to children. What's pertinent to children? Lying. Deal with lying. Take them through the scriptures on lying. Show them how God hates it. How he abhors it. Abhors it. That's what what's the word in the Word of God. He abhors it. And if you get in the habit of lying, you'll lie when it doesn't even, and I hate to even say it this way, but let me say it this way. You'll lie when it doesn't do you any good to lie. That's really wrong to say. It never does you any good to lie. How about this? You'll lie when it doesn't make any sense to lie. But even then, that's not right either. It never makes sense to. But you know what I'm getting to across here? You get in the habit of lying, you just lie because you lie. Lie, 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 lie. How about laziness? How about disobedience? How about friends? How about trends? Trends. Well, so-and-so's doing it. Oh, what an opportunity. Yeah, then nail so-and-so. Don't nail so-and-so. Nail the whole concept of following trends. Keep people out of it. It's not what you're there for. So deal with pertinent topics. I could go on about that. Next one. Teach the great stories of the Bible with a simple, practical application. The stories of this book are unrivaled. They're unrivaled. How can you top Daniel in the lion's den? How can you beat the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? How can you get over any better than David and Goliath? That's humongous. Have some fun. To teach the great stories of the Bible with a simple, practical application. Dad said, well, I don't know enough of the Bible to teach. You know David and Goliath. You know Daniel. You know the story of Joseph. Next, help. Use good books like simple biographies or short stories that teach biblical truth. There's a number of great books out there. There's an old book. I don't know if you can still get it. We used it when the kids were growing up, called Bird Life in Wington. There's little short stories about birds and spiritual applications from those short stories about birds. They used to make these little square books. You remember those, babe? Little square books. And they weren't like the pages were only about maybe 3 inches by 3 inches. And we'd read just maybe 3 or 4 pages a night. Biographies, missionaries, and so forth. And the kids would listen and hopefully learn. So use some good books or simple biographies or short stories that teach biblical truth. How about this help? Role play some of the Bible stories. I can't tell you how many times I was Goliath. A lot of times I was Goliath. And I mean, I don't remember what Bible story I was teaching one time. I forget what story it was, but it was one of those stories where somebody shot an arrow and somebody got killed. And so I got this thing of ketchup before the devotion, and I had a white T-shirt on, and I put this this thing of ketchup underneath the white T-shirt, and I'm telling this Bible story, and somebody shot the arrow, and oh, and the ketchup underwear. Oh, that's silly. Oh, I know. You'd rather laugh at the dirty jokes on the TV, the off-color humor, if you want to call it that. Have some fun with your kids. Good night. You got to think like a kid once in a while. Role play those stories. How many times I was Goliath. Bitter Luke was David. The pillow on the couch was the smooth stone. And it always found its way to my forehead. And the giant came tumbling down. Crash. And the kids would enjoy it. As they got older, they didn't. But when they were younger, they loved it. They loved it. Next, let the children choose a Bible story to be the subject of the devotion. What do you want to hear about tonight, guys? Who has a favorite story in the Bible? Then talk about it. Next, ask them if they have a question about a Bible verse or a subject. Any questions? Any question about a Bible verse? Anything you want Dad to talk about tonight? How about this help? Use people in the Bible to teach both good and bad character lessons. You know what we did for a while? I started with Adam. And just went through the characters in the book of Genesis and on into Exodus. And then got over into Joshua and got into Judges and into the Kings and just took all the characters in the Word of God and just a practical application all the way through to the New Testament using the people in the Bible to teach good character lessons. Then this help. Do not be intimidated to address the hot button topics that older children face. You talk about rebellion. You talk about the dangers of rebellion. You talk about rock music. The wrong kind of music. Talk about working on Sunday. Deal with those issues that are hot button topics as the children get older. How about this help? Pray by name publicly for each child to be saved who is not yet saved. Pray for every child so that they hear you. God, I pray that you'll help Johnny. Help Johnny to get saved. Lord, please help Jane. Help Jane to get saved. Pray that in their name, in their hearing. Ask God to help them get saved. That's a help. Next, see that the older kids set the example on how to sit and listen and participate. Older brothers and sisters can set the example for the little ones on how to sit and listen and participate at family devotions. How about this one? Use different methods to close in prayer. Sometimes Dad closes in prayer. Sometimes we pray around. Sometimes the boys pray. Sometimes the girls pray. Use different methods to close in prayer. How about this help to family altar? Dad and mom need to be on the same page in their relationship. That helps. That helps when Dad and mom sit down together, family devotion time, and there's no vibes. There's no ugly vibes. There's no ugly spirit. Dad and mom are together on this thing. How about this one? Do not preach. They don't need preaching. How about this help? Don't single out an individual child, embarrassing them for something they did wrong. Family devotions is not the time to correct an individual child in front of their siblings. That's unfair. Don't do that. Now, I just gave you 22 helps to having a family altar. I doubt that list has covered them all. But people, in this way, and you having a time where you sit down with your kids, they can learn the Word of God from their youth. In this way, they can be prepared for any onslaught from the devil. In this way, they can be prepared for the temptations of the world. In this way, they can stand against evil men and their evil ways. In this way, they will be equipped to serve God and live for Him. In this way, the Holy Scriptures can be known from childhood. The Holy Scriptures will make children wise about the most important matters in this life and the life to come. And grandparents, when you have those grandchildren for a night because mom and dad are away, step in. Family devotions. We arrived in Mississippi on that Monday because Leah went into labor earlier, and they had a dear neighbor lady who's a Southern Baptist and saved, sweet lady, that she came down and stayed with them for about 3 hours before Joyce and I got there. And then we had some devotions Tuesday night. We knew that Pete and Leah were coming home from the hospital at some time, and we were in the middle of having family devotions with Marcus and James and Nick when they came in with that newborn little girl. And those boys just... And they sat down, and next thing you know, they scattered. And here comes one with his blanket, giving it to his sister. And here comes one with a book, giving it to his sister. And here comes one with a monster truck, giving it to his sister. Now that's sacrifice. When a boy gives up his monster truck for his sister, man. But you know what? I was glad that they came home in the middle of our family devotions. Because I don't know what all goes on in their home. But if they're lax in their family devotions, I hope that kind of sparked them a little bit. Grandparents, you can have an influence. You can have an influence. I don't know. They may be just fine. I don't know. Not my business. Now, I want to say a word to kids whose parents have family altar. I want to say a word to any child whose dad and mom go home from this service and decide, we're going to start this. And you children, listen to me just for a moment. I'm almost done. Don't make this hard on your mom and dad. Amen. I don't want to do it. Sit down and listen. It's not your call. You're not responsible for that home. Your dad is. You make it hard on your dad, make it hard on your mom. Shame on you. You participate, you enjoy, you listen, and you learn. Because that's what Paul said to Timothy. How are you going to stand against this onslaught of evil men and seducers who are going to wax worse and worse? Timothy, what's the answer to this? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You learn. You learn. You older kids, be a good example to the younger kids. And if your family is not used to this practice, it's going to be awkward and there's going to be a time of adjustment, but you help dad and mom work through it. And you encourage your dad by singing the song, and maybe even suggesting a song. And you let dad know every now and again, you know what, dad, I learned something tonight. Or I was reminded of something from your devotion tonight. Be ready to suggest topics or stories for devotions. Because the devil hates what your parents are attempting to do. So you know what, kids? Just join in with your mom and dad and give the devil fits by putting your heart into the thing called family devotion. Give him fits. Give him fits. For years, we had devotions at night on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Didn't have them on Wednesday night, Sunday night because we were in church. We had prayer every night. When I was out of town, my wife pinch hit. As the boys got older, there were a time or two when you had them give the devotion. I thank my God for 10 years under Brother Larry Brown for 100 reasons. But this one, what I learned from him about this is way, way up at the top. Probably ranks up there number one or two or three. Because I am convinced that it will go a long ways in helping your kids know the Holy Scriptures from their childhood. It's not the church's job. You read Deuteronomy 6. It's the parents. Okay? So what do? You go home. You sit down with your family. Say, you know what? We've been too caught up in other stuff. We've neglected this. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and pine and mourn over lost time. We're going to start now. And we're going to do our best to be consistent in this time called family devotions. Dad, mom, children, mom and children, having a little time, sing, Bible story, and pray. It'll make a difference. It will make a difference. Let's pray tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I've just delivered my heart tonight. We have so many young families, young children. God, I so want them to grow up knowing the Holy Scriptures. Yes, everybody needs to know how to work. Everybody needs to know how to handle money. But Lord, we know we need more than anything to know the truth of your word. And I pray that the parents and the families of this church will fight the hindrances that come in the way of family altar, fight through them, overcome them, and hammer out a time when the family can sit down together with your book and put their minds and attention on the truth of your word. Now, Lord, I don't preach this tonight to make anybody feel badly. I want to encourage every family in this room, the children at home, to somehow get this started. Give them the wherewithal. Give them the wherewithal, the deep sense of commitment to make this happen. And I pray that you'll bless their efforts. Bless their efforts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Tonight, just an acknowledgement. Pastor, something was said tonight that I know God wanted me to hear. I'll acknowledge that much. Something was said that I know God wanted me to hear. Pray for me. Can I see your hand tonight? All right, that's faithful. That's humility. That's honesty. Now, if God spoke to you, that's mercy. So speak back to Him. In this time of invitation, it's a time of acknowledging. God, you spoke to my heart. Let's stand together. If you're lost, now's a good time to come get saved. Or follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And if you're a child tonight, maybe you need to be on this altar and praying, God, I'm going to go home and encourage my dad. Encourage my mom in this matter. While we wait. I know job schedules are difficult. I know I'm talking to men who are working 55 and 60 hours a week. Talk to a man who worked 50-something hours in 4 days this week. I get it. It is a difficult time, but this is too important. You just got to fight through it. Work your way through it and have that family altar. Grandparents, be a good example to your children. When you have the grandchildren, take advantage of it. Have that family altar time. Just let God know that He spoke to your heart. This is what I need to do. While we wait, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just quietly before the Lord tonight. Years, and that group of that little handful of kiddos that were tugging on your pant leg, Dad, and your skirt, Mom, they'll all be gone. It won't be long. Time flies. So take advantage of it while you can. And I hope you know tonight, I love you. I love you with all my heart. I don't preach this meanly or ugly. I'm not trying to make anybody in this room feel like a dog. I'm just trying to say how important this is. When you read that scripture, Timothy would be able to stand against the evil men and the seducers by continuing in the things he'd learned from childhood. May God help it to be so. Kids, I hope that you'll ask God to give you a heart to learn. Learn at home. Learn in Sunday school. Learn at church. Learn God's book. Nothing else is going to help you to be prepared for life like this book. Our Father in heaven, bless the day. Thank you for these people, their faithfulness, Lord. I know that some of them are here tonight not feeling 100%, and others have to be home because they are sick, too sick to be here. I pray that you'll bring healing. I pray, God, you'll be with Janet tomorrow. She has her back surgery, and continue to heal those that have recently had surgery. And Lord, if you did surgery on our hearts today, in the message this morning or the message tonight, I pray that we'll take it home and be the better for it. God, please, we live in a wicked day, but you've given us what we need. Now it's just a matter of learning it, learning it, learning it, and being able to stand against evil men and seducers who wax worse and worse, because that's exactly where we're living. So bring strength and help to every family in this room, I pray tonight in Christ's name. Amen.